This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Somebody that got a lot of satisfaction from last night's voting, it was Donald Trump. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That was the Rolling Stones, of course. I am Paul Molloy, though, and along with Big Ed Davis, we thank you for being with us on this Wednesday, March the 6th, one day after Super Tuesday. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, our buddy Neville Kramer. He's a former INS agent. He's now a worldwide security consultant. He's going to be with us. We are going to talk about the border, about the Joe Biden-Donald Trump visit to the Texas-Mexico border last week. Did that really accomplish anything at all? We are going to talk with Neville about that in just a few minutes. And Nikki Haley has just announced she is suspending her campaign as Donald Trump won all but one of the states. Of the 15 states in the Super Tuesday battle yesterday. We are going to talk about all of that as well. In fact, we'll be talking about that throughout the course of the show, I am sure. Hey, and by the way, did anybody notice while everything else is going on, did you notice the government will shut down in 2 days unless a funding bill is passed? Anybody care? It's not at the top of your wish list right now, is it? Anyway, we're going to give you all the details about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, boy, do we have a good one, I think, anyway. The top 10 most stressful states to live in right now in 2024. That will be towards the end of the show, so you can stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better place. It is very close if you live anywhere in the Clearwater area, or in the Tampa Bay area for that matter. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment, man, and you'll get the best haircut, great haircut, great price, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service. Hey, I can tell you from experience, so can some other people that do radio programs here. ArborLife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, ArborLife, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So just as we went on the air here, Ed, Nikki Haley took to the podium to announce she is suspending her campaign. There is no surprise to that. I think a lot of us suspected that would happen, especially after we knew that she was not making any kind of a speech yesterday, no matter what, and that she had no plans, no future plans after yesterday in terms of making any appearances anywhere. So I guess we're not surprised. The question will be on the minds of a lot of people, will she be tempted to leave the Republican Party and possibly consider running as a third party candidate?
If I were her, I wouldn't take that number that number that she calls so great as people that are actually following her, but half of those were voting against Trump. So it's not like you've got a cult going or anything like that. She did win one state yesterday.
Vermont.
And won this morning. So
who'd she win this morning?
The state of North Korea.
Did we finally get the primary results?
She finally won another one.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, last night, Paul, was funny because I like to, you know, like the other day when you left, I said, I'm going to tune into The View. Because they were crying in their Javi about the court proceedings.
Yes, indeed.
The judges. Well, last night was MSNBC QRS and their roundtable of they were celebrating. Richard Madow, of course, was in the head chair.
Richard Madow, yes.
Richard Madow in the head chair.
Yes.
And was touting and thumping the chair. We called it. We called that she was going to win Vermont. And
they were so excited about Vermont, weren't they?
And what was the other? And
well, the only other one that I know of that Trump did not win was Samoa, but it was one.
No.
Go ahead.
No. I'm talking about Trump.
Yes.
No, Nikki Haley won.
Yes.
The two states. Okay.
She won Vermont.
Yes, but she. What was the other one that she won right off the bat? It was
oh, you're talking about Washington, D.C.
Yeah, D.C.
That was not Super Tuesday, but yeah.
Everybody on the planet called that one. That knew that she was going to win two states.
There's only five Republicans, and four of them are suspect in Washington.
They were trying to find something to say, see, we know what we're doing here.
Yeah, right.
And then who's the chubby guy with the glasses? Boy, I'd like to shut him up.
I know who you mean, but I don't know
good
his name.
Lord.
I was watching some of that myself. I wanted to see the reaction.
That guy's got to be paid by the vowel, for crying out loud.
It was, let's face it, Donald Trump is rolling. Everything's going well for him.
I wondered if it'd be close, but when I started seeing states that were coming in at 80%, good Lord.
Yeah, no
wonder she stayed home and didn't have a party.
Yeah, you know, I think I kind of liked the fact that she hung on. To be honest with you, I kind of like her. I just there's something I like about her. I don't say that she would have been a great president. I don't know. She's a likable sort. She gave Trump a little. I think you know it's good to have a little competition.
Yeah.
You know, from that standpoint, she's, in my opinion, she's going to stay Republican. She will endorse Trump eventually, and she is going to sit back and possibly set her sights 4 years from
but
now.
But honestly, do you think if DeSantis was still in this thing, she'd be third?
I would say yes.
Okay. Well, then she's, but not, DeSantis, she's not close.
DeSantis,
she won second by default.
The only thing I would think I would hesitate on there is that DeSantis and Trump are so similar in certain ways that their votes could go either way, and she picks up those that are not supporters of that kind of a movement. So I'm not sure. She might have, you know, she and DeSantis might have gone back and forth in a few of the states, but you know what? Trump was ahead of everybody. There's no question he was good. It was just a matter of time. And I think she, you know, so she hung on for one more round on Super Tuesday. Good for her. I would say that's it. She'll stay in the fold. That's my opinion.
Well, when you hang on this long, you get the free T-shirt.
You get the T-shirt, yes.
And the matching coffee mug.
You get the coffee mug. So, you know, that's why she hung on.
Yeah.
Because they're very nice, both of them. Anyway, so she drops out. And as we said, Trump swept 14 of the 15. There was a guy in Samoa. I'd never heard of him. He won Samoa.
He's a rock star out there.
Yeah. Nobody knows who he... In fact, even Brett Baer, who was anchoring the coverage of Fox News last night, said he didn't know who the guy was.
Can you imagine
isn't that
somebody
funny?
Telling Biden that he lost to a Samoan? And Biden would probably just come back I don't like their food anyway.
I'm not even sure the guy was a Samoan. It sounded like he had some sort of a common name.
American Samoan or something
like
that.
Well, he could have been an American
something
Samoan.
Something like Young, like George Young.
Yeah.
Something, you know.
Yeah, just the
Murphy or something like that. Yeah. I'll have to look it up during a break.
So Haley had no public event schedule, so we all kind of knew what was coming. And so away we go. So Trump's on his own now. And in the meantime, Let's do this. I think we got our buddy Neville Kramer waiting for us. We're going to switch gears here. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that border situation. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, you know, they went down to the Texas-Mexico border last week. Did that really accomplish anything? We'll talk with Neville Kramer about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Wednesday. Boy, a lot's going on. Super Tuesday. Government possibly shutting down on Friday. Meantime, out in Arizona, listen to this. Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs in Arizona has vetoed a Republican-sponsored bill that would have authorized police to arrest illegal immigrants if they were caught, saying that the legislation was anti-immigrant and likely unconstitutional. Really? You can't arrest somebody that illegally comes into the country anymore because it's against the I like to see where it says in the Constitution that you can't arrest somebody that illegally comes into the country. The veto, of course, was criticized by Republicans who say the bill would have helped curb a plethora of crimes linked to illegal immigration in the Grand Canyon state. The bill would have made it a misdemeanor for anybody to illegally cross the border at any location other than a lawful point of entry. Well, it would make sense to me, but then again, what's making sense these days when it comes
I keep saying that the worst time is coming when that free money runs out to those illegals that are here. That's when people turn to crime.
It's a scary scenario.
Yeah.
We are delighted to have one of our all-time favorites, Neville Kramer. He's a former INS agent. He's now a worldwide security consultant. He knows all kinds of things about the border. He worked down there, I think, at Eagle Pass, Texas at some point. Neville, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. How are you doing?
Paul, it's great to be with you. Good morning, Ed. And boy, I'll tell you, there's so much going on down there. It's tough to tell you where to begin.
I know,
I would like to start with what you just mentioned.
Sure.
Because it's a point that people don't realize is basically backlash against this invasion that we're having, and it's really amazing that that she vetoed that. But she's in line with many of the chiefs of police, the sheriffs. She's in line with the Justice Department and the FBI, who for years have said they do not want local law enforcement enforcing immigration laws. And now, because of this situation with the murder of Lincoln Riley and other these massive displays of lawlessness by these migrant groups, even the court in Louisiana basically said, we better take a look at this, and maybe it's time for local law enforcement to get involved in immigration enforcement. And one last comment about this is people don't realize it, but in a sense, this is a minor conspiracy that's taken place with the Justice Department and so forth. And that's one of the things that created our sanctuary cities. That's really the idea was, is we do not want local law enforcement enforcing immigration laws, because the federal government says it's in the Constitution and it's a federal responsibility.
Yes.
So just know this is backlash right now, and I'm glad to see it happen.
Yes, and you're right, and you're making a good point. It actually is the responsibility of the federal government to protect our borders and to stop people from crossing over, and then supposedly to enforce the law if they find people that cross over illegally. They have the power to arrest them. But when they're not doing their job, like you say, states like Texas, as an example, they decide they go their own route. Look at all. I mean, we can argue about whether or not walls work, but let's be honest. The governor of Texas puts all of that that razor wire down and does all kinds of work to stop the penetration, physically stop it, and it works. I mean, it works. It's down to it's kind of down to a trickle. But let's get back, if we could, Neville, to last week when simultaneously, I guess Biden decided he wanted to take away some of the glory or something from Donald Trump. Because Trump, I think, originally said he was going to go down to Eagle Pass and he was going to join the Texas governor down there, which he did. And so what does Biden do? He goes down to Brownsville, where hardly anything happens. And he wanders around down there simultaneously. They had a split screen. Were you watching any of that?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So,
I hate to say this, but I'm both the part of both Trump. And by the way, Trump, we know Trump isn't a president anymore, so he really was great to go down there. But these are photo opportunities.
Of course,
if you take a look at the faces of the Border Patrol agents and the law enforcement people that are with Biden, I mean, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be anywhere near this guy. They know that Mayorkas and Biden are the ones that created this thing. They know that Trump was definitely interested in securing the border and was doing what he could with the wall and so forth, and is on their side. This is an invasion, and they've gutted these people's responsibilities that they took an oath to enforce the laws of the United States, and Biden has cut them off at the knees. They don't want to be down there with this guy, whether he's in Brownsville or whether he's in El Paso or anywhere else on that border.
I think you're absolutely right. And wasn't one of the border bigwigs saying the other day that in the 3 years that he's been doing things, Biden has not even said word one to him?
Chief Ortiz. He was the head of the, and you know, the great part about it is they can't start throwing Hispanic kind of thing. I mean, the Border Patrol is about 60% Hispanic now or more. They're upset about it. They just are disgusted with what's going on down there on the border. They have to live with this issue, and it's too little, too late. What's about to happen? But we'll see.
Yeah. So your thought then about the governor of Texas slapping all of that border wire down there and doing what he's doing, are you comfortable with governors taking it upon themselves, one way or the other, to become involved with this immigration thing? We got the Arizona governor going one way, and we got the governor of Texas going the other way.
I'm totally in favor of local law enforcement and the sheriffs and everybody else down there for joining the Border Patrol. Look at our drug situation. I'm not talking about fentanyl, but look at our drug situation. We have state laws that make drugs illegal. We have federal laws that make the same drugs illegal. And DEA works very closely with all of the local police, the county police, the state police, and so forth. And why isn't the same thing taking place with immigration? And it should. And that's the only way we're going to battle this thing. It's not something where you say, okay, Border Patrol, you handle immigration, and we're going to make believe you don't exist and your problems don't exist. And that's the way we've had it for 40 or 50 years that I've been involved with it. And it's terrible. But I'm very much in favor of them as part of this new H.R. 2 law, which Trump didn't want, and I understand why he didn't want it, and I agree with him. But H.R. 2 has parts of it that allow and support with money the ability of local law enforcement to work with the feds and to stop this stop this invasion.
We're talking with Neville Kramer, who has got a long-time background when it comes to the INS, security enforcement, and the like. He wrote a book some years ago, Immigration Chaos. Boy, it's still relevant, is it not, Neville, that book of yours?
Yeah, and thanks for your support with that, Paul. Very much appreciated. I guess we've been doing this a long time.
We have been, my friend. I'm going to tell you that it's been 20 years that you and I have been talking to each other. We've celebrated a few birthdays during that period of time. You've celebrated more than me. I've cut back on mine, but that's okay. So I want to ask you about whether or not you believe Donald Trump really doesn't want the GOP to do anything about the border until he gets a chance to become president and he can take all the credit. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I don't think it has to do with him taking the credit. This is what it boils down to. The support for H.R. 2, which is the bill that everybody's saying that the Republicans didn't support, it's like putting a Band-Aid on somebody's arm has just been whacked off. Okay, I mean it's a Band-Aid approach to something that it requires a tremendous amount of new legislation, appropriations of billions of dollars to do all sorts of different things. We've got to add to the money that we're spending on interior enforcement, deportations, border control, and the list goes on and on and on. This H.R. 2 is part of that solution, and Trump is saying, look, I don't want to go halfway. Halfway is not good enough, and there's no silver bullet. So we're not going to have one little piece of legislation that takes care of a few different parts of this, and that's the end of it. He doesn't want that, and I agree with him. I agree with him 100%. This is a time when America has to step back, and we've got to figure out all sorts of things with one piece of massive legislation and start fixing what needs to be fixed with this immigration stuff, or we're going to lose the country. I think we're halfway there.
I think you're right. You have advocated for, what is that term that you use for businesses to...
E-Verify.
That's it. Thank you. E-Verify. And I've heard that brought up again recently, that E-Verify should be... No matter what they do, E-Verify needs to be a part of the product that finally comes out when it comes to our vigilance at the border.
Well, maybe at another time when we have a few more minutes, but I have to tell you, E-Verify was created from a system that I developed called the SAVE system in 1986. It was subsequently developed from that. And it takes the onus away from employers to have to make determinations about people's ability to work in this country. It gives it to they automate the system. You either have the documents or you don't have the documents. And I'd like to interject right now that E-Verify is a very good program, but Biden is trying to destroy it as we speak.
Yeah,
because it requires documents to prove that you have the right to work, and he is taking away the documentation of aliens in the United States, both legal and illegal.
Yeah. Now, Biden is going to be giving his State of the Union speech tomorrow. It will be, by the way, the latest time, it's the latest date ever to give one. I doubt, maybe I'm wrong, I doubt he'll even mention the border in that speech. He might. You would think the pressure would be on for him to say something. I don't know what he would say. How can he defend what he's done?
Oh, I know what he'll say. He'll say that back when he first took office, that he presented a fantastic solution to our immigration problem, and the Republicans refused to vote on it, and they blocked it in the House of Representatives, and this was the worst thing that we could have ever done, and all that he's doing on the border is he's just trying to secure the border the best way that they can until this thing is solved and the Republicans stop their nonsense.
Not even his own speechwriters, and the one that puts it on the teleprompter buys that, much less the public. I mean, this is
hope nobody's buying this entire presidency.
Yes, it's amazing. It's just absolutely, it seems like every day you wake up, Trump is, I don't know. Everything's going his way right now. I know he's got a lot of litigation that's that's still going. Even that Fannie Willis thing, and not to get off topic too much, but that's going his way too. So,
I hope it all goes his way. In fact, if you read the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, and you see that the guy was fined $355 million.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Okay, it's just 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, this is ludicrous. This is stupid.
Yes.
And unconstitutional.
Yes.
I mean, there's, you know,
I think
he didn't
do
anything
tossed.
Wrong.
No, I agree with that. Nobody got hurt. I think that thing's going to. They're going to. I can almost guarantee you, they're going to either lop that whole thing off or lop a good portion of that penalty off. It just doesn't make any sense. Neville Kramer, it is always a pleasure to talk. I wish we could talk for an hour because we there's so much to talk about with you. How are you doing otherwise? Everything going well?
Doing great, and I want you to know, even my wife got involved this morning. I've got Post-it notes all over the kitchen and my desk here that says, don't forget Paul this morning.
Oh, well, you never forget. I never worry
thanks,
about
Paul.
You. Hey, thanks, Neville. Talk soon again.
Have a great morning.
All right.
I hope so. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, buddy. Neville Kramer. Yeah, we've been talking with him for some 20 years. My God. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back. Did anybody notice the government is going to shut down on Friday? Unless a funding bill is passed, we are going to give you all the details.
You want to get down? Tell me, what you going to do? Do you want to get down? What you going to do? You want to get down? What you going to do? You want to get down? Tell me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. So, Joe Biden tomorrow is going to deliver his State of the Union speech. It is the latest date ever. The latest date ever for a State of the Union. You know, it used to be that it would be in late January, and here we are in March already.
Well, when we get Andrew on, we got to have some sort of a pool going.
Yeah.
How many gaffes? How many stumbles? Well, how about a story?
Should we have an over-under on the number of
yes,
gaffes?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I would say, let's see, he'll give a speech for about 35 or 40 minutes, right?
And a gaffe would be anything.
I would say that there'd be an average of about 22 gaffes in that
and
time period.
And a gaffe is like when he says, I had to go to the store and get some... That's a gaffe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I would say the over-under would be about 22.
I'm gonna say 12.
Oh, you're much more conservative than I am about that.
Well, he's
that.
Got the prompter, and he can take his time.
If he falls down while he's giving the speech, is that considered a gaffe also?
Oh, game's over.
I think we'll give 10. That's 10 gaffes right there.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking about the Master Barber, he's with us. Andrew, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Paul, yeah. Especially after last night.
Let me ask you then. You must be very, very excited. And Nikki Haley has suspended her campaign. We got more good news. Your buddy Mitch McConnell has now formally endorsed Donald Trump for president this morning.
Well, he had to do that before he kicks the bucket, so.
He's
he had to get one thing right anyway.
Well, he's going out, you know. He's not going to be...
he should have gone. He got to wait till November. That's too long. He should have been gone yesterday.
I'm surprised he didn't stand there and endorse Ronald Reagan.
Well, never know these days. You never know. Hey. So we got Nikki Haley that... I think she will eventually come back into the stable. I do not think she will... I don't think she leaves the ranch. She's going to stay a Republican. I think she will endorse Donald Trump. It is in her best interests to do so. And I think she will, keep her powder dry for another 4 years. What do you think?
Well, you know, Paul, first of all, I sit there and laugh when they say Nikki Haley is the first woman to win a primary. Why didn't they say she's the first woman to win one state in a primary? She didn't win no primary.
She won the Vermont primary.
You know what I'm saying? She didn't win no primary. She won one state in a primary election.
She got a participation trophy.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. Give her a T-shirt.
We were talking about it earlier. A coffee mug. She gets a coffee mug Donald Trump's visage and a T-shirt.
Tomorrow night, Biden's whole State of the Union address is going to be a gaffe. There's going to be how many gaffes? The whole thing is going to be a gaffe.
Well, that's the deal.
You know, and all he's going to start promoting, he's going to start on his campaign. Because, you know, the Democrats are going to promote democracy, democracy, democracy. You know, instead of economy, immigration, you're not going to hear none of that. Okay, he's going to put democracy. I want to know how many people sit around their table discussing democracy at dinner time.
No, they discuss what the cost is of gasoline and their food that they're eating.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you know what else they're saying? Well, you know, Nikki's people won't vote for Trump, and Biden's people, they're upset, and who knows what the turnout's going to be. I can tell you this. All the same people that voted for Trump the last time are going to vote for Trump again. All right?
And then some.
His isn't going down.
Absolutely.
So I hope the other people don't turn out.
Mm-hmm. So let's.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I want, along with Biden trying to deliver his State of the Union speech, which I think is worth watching just to see how many goofs he makes during it, in a major shift of his political strategy, apparently. He is apparently wants to take an opportunity or every opportunity to attack Trump and get Trump off his game or off his, off his nut. Biden, who has frequently refused to call Trump by name, is privately pushing for a much more aggressive approach and to go for Donald Trump's jugular. It reveals that Biden is convinced he can rattle Trump if he taunts him daily, and that the president has told friends and allies that he thinks Trump is wobbly, both intellectually and emotionally, and will explode if Biden mercilessly gigs and goads him. I just can't wait for Biden to try and gig and goad anybody.
You sure we're not talking about exploding Biden's depends?
Let me tell you something.
Confused.
Biden doesn't have the energy to go after Trump, nor the know-how. He opens his mouth one time, and Trump's going to tear him a new one. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And he's got all the ammunition to do it. All you got to do is look at Biden's record, period.
Did you know he stayed on vacation through Monday? He just came back to the White House Tuesday. Yesterday.
Well,
he just came back.
The guy
is on vacation so much, we just take it for granted he's not doing anything.
Listen, he's a government worker. Okay?
I forgot about
that. They get more vacations than anybody.
Let's be real.
And he's the king of the government workers. So, let's be real.
Okay.
Now, his State of the Union is going to go... Excuse me.
No, that's what's going to happen. He'll be coughing all the way through it.
Yeah, that's going to go down, and he's going to go down, and I believe the Democrat Party will go down in 2024. I think you're going to see the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
Did you see that Steve Garvey is running against Adam Schiff out in California for the Dianne Feinstein Senate seat? What do you think about that one?
You got to be kidding me. If they put in him, well, it's California. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, when you say him, Schiff versus Steve Garvey, who was the former Major League Baseball player.
Well, I'd like to see Garvey get it.
I think he's got a shot.
Well, it's less than 1%.
The difference is less. Paula's getting
I don't know if that's a runoff or not. Is that a runoff?
Well, here's what's going on. I think that the top two vote getters run off against each other. Okay. That's what I think. I'm not sure about this. We'll have to look at it. But I think right now, they will have. There's about five or six different people that are running for the seat. Now I don't know how it works,
but
I think the top two are the ones that if nobody gets 50% or more, they have a runoff between the top two. So there's a good chance that Schiff and Steve Garvey will be the top two, and they will do a runoff. That's what I.
Well, we'd like to see Garvey get that one.
Yes, indeed.
But you know, Paul, the Americans now better realize that they better forget about their own special interests in the next election. The only special interest there should be is the United States of America.
Of
no
course.
Gays, no LGBTs, none of Black Lives. That should all go away. That should all go away.
Well,
it should be nothing
about
America. But we'll see what happens.
We need to get back to understanding what made our country great. We need to get back to following the Constitution. We need to get back to the freedom that we had in this country. We need to get back from, we need to somehow untangle the tentacles of the federal government that has wrapped itself around all of us like it has. I don't know if we can ever do that again, but, you know, at least with Trump, it's like, he's in a swamp, and he sort of rises above the swamp. There he is, kind of standing on top of all of that swamp in Washington, trying to keep his head above it, you know, and trying to keep everybody from what is going on. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. I mean, he doesn't need this.
One thing that sticks out to me about Trump that I bring is when, you know, when he was in office and not Mitch McConnell, the other one.
Schumer?
Chuck Schumer was in the office. They're sitting on the couch with Nancy Pelosi, and they were talking about the government shutdown, and they wanted this and they wanted that, and Trump just said, "Listen, I'll shut it down. I'll shut it down." And then you saw they just basically threw their hands up in the air, and they were frustrated.
Yeah,
but it's not.
I'd love to see him shut it down.
I would too. I mean, I
have no problem with it. The only thing that gets shut down are a couple of parks. They're not going to stop your social security or your welfare.
The people that paychecks are going to get shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. Shut down the welfare checks. Oh, yeah, definitely. And shut down the immigration payoff.
Well, speaking about all of that, Michelle Obama is shutting down speculation that she is going to run. Did you hear about this, Andrew? Because you had mentioned there was...
Of course I heard about that, and she was smart because everything would come out about her, whatever she is, whatever. I have no idea, but everything would come out, and she's going to try to avoid that, believe me.
Because if she says it now, that's okay. And this way, that if something happens in, like they say, May, June, or July, medically... with Biden, then she has the option.
So you think that she could still possibly be a factor?
Well,
okay.
You said you weren't going to jump in there. Well, I wasn't going, but then Biden got sick. You know, we needed a.
That would, she would be the best candidate against Trump because he would bring everything out about her. He'd have his people finding every nut and cranny from the time she was in high school with Hussein Obama there and everything else.
But,
college,
you know,
it'll all come out.
If Biden were to dump out for medical reasons or whatever, couldn't Kamala throw her hat in the ring?
She should. She's the vice president. That's what they put in.
Well, yeah, she wants to be considered, but nobody in their
ready.
Right mind.
No, I'm not saying I want her to.
I know what you're saying. Would she? But I don't think there's even a ghost of a chance that Michelle Obama would even if... even if, God forbid, I guess, something that does happen to Biden, et cetera, she's not going to say, oh, yes, now I've changed my mind. I don't think so. Why would she do that?
No.
She's got a cushy life. My God,
right.
It would be nothing but trouble for her.
That's right.
Plus, I don't think
you,
she
all,
knows what she would be
truth.
Doing
she's
anyway.
Not, all the qualified. Truth would come out.
Yeah.
And they want to keep that hidden as long as they can, believe me.
Hey, Andrew, I was wondering before, last night when I was watching that MSNBC, which was painful, but By the way, The View, remember I said when we were
Yeah, tell us about that. You watched The View at all after all of that?
3 minutes. That's all I could handle.
They must have been going crazy.
They were just going nuts. Andrew, you see how Fox goes out on remotes and stuff, goes to local kitchens and diners and stuff like that? Does MSNBC or CNN ever do that?
No, because nobody would talk to them.
I tell you, if they ever do that in Florida, you and I, let's pack a lunch and go there.
Well, you know,
I would love to sit in their audience.
Andrew, were you not on one of those Fox and Friends?
Yes, I was. I was on Fox News when Trump was running in 2015. Or
yes, indeed. I kind of remember all of that. Remember, you were interviewed.
Yes, I was.
I wish we could find that tape.
I'd like to see it. I have got it. Yes, I do.
We
got
to play the audio from that.
Well, we'll get it one of these days when you come in the shop. I've got it on my phone.
I'd love to have it. I think that would be wonderful, my friend. Always wonderful. Hey, anyway, we're feeling good, are we not, about what happened last night, yesterday?
I'm feeling great. I think the country might be starting to make a little right-hand turn here to go down the right direction.
Okay.
And like I say, they can say whatever they want. All the people that voted for Trump the last time will vote for him again, plus more. So all these people want to sit back and say, I'm not going to vote. Go for the gusto.
You know, in the springtime, we need a boat parade, another boat parade for Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And this time we'll make sure the Tampa Bay Times knows about
that. That's right. Yeah. They won't boycott talking about it.
Oh, we didn't think anybody would
show up. They'll know about it. They just won't cover it.
That was a massive scene. And I've got a drone. I've got a drone now, and I would love to get some photos.
You
of
have
that.
A drone?
I do.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'm still learning to drive it. I mean, to fly it.
I'd like to see you drive it.
It's a little tight on my hips
I
right
would
now.
Say so. Anyway, go ahead, Andrew. What do you want?
I was going to say, he needs to hook up some water balloons to that drone and start dropping them.
There you go. Andrew, the Master Barber, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for being on, my friend. I hope we will be talking with you on Friday.
You got it, Paul. Remember, Trump 2024 all the way, buddy.
Sounds good.
All right, sir.
There he goes. He's one happy camper right now. All right. We're going to take I promise you we are going to talk about the government possible shutdown when we come back, among other things, and the top 10 most stressful states to live in.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on the Freedom Works Radio Show. So happy you're with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. Always glad when you can find time to listen to us. However, if you cannot find the time 10 to 11, thanks to Big Ed. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to any of our shows anytime you would like, because he puts all the shows on podcast. Just click on the podcast button at the top. It opens up. You can choose the show. You will know the guest. You will know the topic with the guest, and you will know our top 10. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. So, the House is expected to take one step closer to ending its month-long fight over government funding today with a vote on a nearly $460 billion spending package. The legislation runs about 1,000-plus pages. Nobody will read it. It's a package of six bills dealing with departments and agencies whose funding expires on Friday. The departments included in the bill, agriculture, the FDA, the Justice and Commerce Departments, the Energy and Water Development, the Department of Interior, Transportation, and Housing. So funding tied to Congress's six remaining bills expires on March the 22nd. If passed, the House will have made major strides towards ending a divisive chapter fueled by disagreements over how federal funds are spent. But like Ed says, we keep spending money we don't have. I think at some point, somebody's got to say, you know what, we don't have this money. I'm going to vote against it.
Yeah.
And we'll shut down parts of the government and let everybody panic and run around, but finally figure out that we got to stop overspending.
You never hear anybody over there say, we don't have the money this month or, you know, this year.
That's right.
To do that. We got to cut back. We got to get a second job.
Yes.
You know?
Hey, I want to make a plug for the Voice of Reason. Now, they don't, their philosophy is totally different than ours on Freedom Works. But Ed Golly does a show 10 to 11 a.m. every Thursday. It'll be on tomorrow. Same time that I do my show, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He does his on Thursday. Voice of Reason. Please tune in. Listen to him. He's a good guy. We like him. And we used to do some back and forth with him. We may pick that up again down the road. You never know. So, Ed, before we get into our top 10, which I think is an interesting one, top 10 most stressful states, is there anything going on in baseball or with the Bucks, or maybe even with the Lightning that we need to know? Is there
actually, the big thing going on right now, heading into March Madness, which I never talk about, is the USF Bulls, the men's team has won their 15th in a row last night. So
15 in a row?
15 in a row.
I did not know they were doing that well.
Yes, they've really turned that program around.
Outstanding. So. Are they ranked in the top 25?
I have to take a look.
But if they've won 15 in a row, they certainly deserve it.
Just caught my eye. And the whole thing is, they got a stadium that's going to be built in the next couple of years. And the football team is, went 7-6 last year, so they...
You know, there's no reason why USF, because they've got a huge number of people that go to this.
They're competing with Florida, Miami.
Well, I understand, but they've got a lot of students that go to USF. It's a good school, and they should be competitive. So I'm glad to hear that they are. Yeah. You know, that's excellent news. And I guess baseball continues.
Spring training is just going on. We've got the Blue Jays here locally.
So next month, April, is when, of course, the regular season begins.
Yeah, I think it's the
begins.
Last weekend of March.
We begin baseball?
Yeah.
Last weekend? Okay.
Hey, don't forget this weekend.
What's going this weekend?
Turn the clocks ahead an hour.
Okay. We're back into daylight savings time. Yeah. All right. We'll have to remind everybody on Friday.
These those kids in the morning at 7 o'clock will be standing there waiting on the bus in complete darkness.
Yes. It
makes a lot of sense to me.
I've never been a fan. I mean, I know of people that love daylight savings. Quite frankly, I like it standard, but that's the way it is. Anyway. All right. We have, I think, a very interesting top 10. These are the top 10 most stressful states to live in. Comes from an organization called Kamoa. Wellness brand Kamoa created a ranking of the most and least stressed states in America. The company compared U.S. states based on 16 key indicators of stress, including hours worked, credit card debt, divorce rates, commute times, and a few other factors. So here we go. The top 10 states that are the most stressful to live in. Number 10. This surprised me because it's farm country, Indiana. I don't know why you would be stressed in Indiana, but apparently you are. Hmm. Right in the middle of America. I've thought Indiana would have been one of the least stressed. So
you don't play basketball.
They play a lot of basketball in Indiana. Maybe that's stressful now that I think about it. All right, number 9. This one I am not as surprised about. West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, coal mining and that whole business of there's a lot of heavy people there. They've got bad diets, the coal. I can see where West Virginia might be a stressful place to live. Number 8.
And they only work like half the year.
They do?
Oh, well, a lot of people, because, the cold and whatnot. Yeah. Like, a lot of people in Pennsylvania only work half the year.
Is that right? Okay. Number 8. Would you believe Arizona is number 8?
Well, it's so dry.
Yeah, maybe that's stressful. You don't have enough water.
Can't get a lawn to grow.
They need more grass.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 7. Georgia.
Well, they got that.
If I lived in Atlanta, I would be stressed.
Let's blame it on Fanny.
Yes. She's really stressing people out. Atlanta area is a stressful place to live. Yeah. It is so. I mean, you ever drive through Atlanta on the interstate?
Yes.
That is the most stressful.
You really got to pay attention.
There's a point where there's like 8 lanes going one way.
You can wind up in Tennessee with a flick of an eye.
Or Alabama.
Yep.
Number 6. South Carolina. There's a lot of southern states in here, I must admit.
Oh.
I always thought people were laid back in these places. But South Carolina is the most 6th most stressful. Number 5. Nevada. Mm-hmm. Well, that one I can buy. That one I can buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gamblers?
Sure.
I think there's a lot of problems there with gambling and the like. A lot of stress involved. Number 4. Louisiana. I can buy that one, too.
Mm.
There's a lot of, I don't know. I can just see where all there's. Louisiana's got a lot of issues.
Mm.
And New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, it can be a dangerous area. Number 3. And this one surprised me. Oklahoma.
Wow.
Oklahoma? What is stressful about living in Oklahoma? Maybe there's so little to do that you get overstressed because you got to find something to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Number 2. And I used to live in this state, Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama. It says here, Alabama ranks second largely due to work stress and health stress. Residents of the heart of Dixie State worked more hours than most Americans, earned a lot less, and had one of the highest divorce rates.
Mm.
Mm. All right. Ed?
I'm going to go with, who's always on the bad end of every poll out there, probably Jersey.
That's a good guess. I would have gone along with that one as a possible. But it is not. It's Tennessee.
Wow.
And I used to live in Tennessee as well. The volunteer state scored number 1. It had very high of health stress, came in 3rd for the highest level of depression.
Wow.
16% of residents also said their physical health is not good for more than 14 days a month. Tennessee? Wow. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm surprised. All right. Thank you so very much. We're not stressed out here too much in Florida. We thank you for listening. We will be back on Friday. Do remember, freedom works.